Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life.
Hello, hello again, friends. It is so good to be connecting again. I'm finding, personally, I'm leaning more and more into all the virtual ways of connecting right now. My online classes, this podcast, my social media, all of it is helping facilitate me staying connected to my students and clients in ways that are really powerful, even though I really am missing in-person connections like crazy right now. Before we jump into today's show, I'm going to ask you to do me a super quick favor. If you could pause this episode for 30 seconds before we get into the amazingness that is in store for you today. Now, could you jump on over to your favorite podcast player platform that you are in right now and rate this podcast? This is super important as it helps the thriving birth worker community connect with even more birth workers and spread the message of bringing amazing voices to encourage as many birth workers as we can. I am really excited because today is episode 27. Which means if you are listening to one episode a week, we have 6 months of content out right now. This project has been a really fun way to connect with some powerful influencers in the field, and I'm excited to continue bringing these amazing voices and ideas to the table. If you have any guests that you would love to hear from specifically, be sure to email me and let me know, and I will do my very best to connect with them. And if you're new around here, I'd love to say a warm hello and let you know how thrilled I am to have you as part of the Thriving Birthworker community. I'd also love to remind you that I have several free resources that I've created to support you. Specifically, there are two quick and easy movement classes that I've designed specifically to support the birthworker's body, focusing on the upper body and the back, which we all know we utilize quite often in our birthworking experiences. So all the resources mentioned in today's episode can be found under today's show notes. So are you able to use social media to connect with your people? How does social media make you feel? Is it overwhelming? Is it confusing? Are you not sure where to start? Are you feeling really confident and effective? I brought in a social media and business strategist to talk to us about this very topic. I know for many of us, it can feel like a lot, and we're not exactly sure where to start, or if what we're doing is simply a waste of time because it feels like no one is seeing what we're posting. Many of us are trying to dial in how we can connect with our clients virtually. And while social media might not have been on our radar several months ago, it probably is now. So Katie Edwards Corbin and I dig into all of this and more in today's episode. She's built her own business from the ground up and understands the entrepreneur's journey. Katie holds a bachelor's in professional studies of life sciences and a master of science in acupuncture and oriental medicine. She has over 100,000 hours of professional and business training, whether it be in traditional institutions or mentoring with leaders of their industries. She continues to grow and master in her craft. Katie is naturally drawn to technology, marketing, and the psychology of advertising. The combined approach of leadership, management, and self-development with being tech-savvy makes her a powerhouse to the companies that she works with. Katie loves to be with her family and is a mother of two children. She is an avid yogi, a reader, philosopher, traveler, and she may or may not be one book away from opening her own bookstore in her home. Katie is full of knowledge that can only be gained from doing the work yourself, building a business from the ground up twice, and being in the trenches that aren't glamorous but are full of growth and development. I am really excited to share with you today's episode. Katie, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Erin. How are you?
I'm good. We are recording this, March of 2020. So we are in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic. And so we are in the house. I have four boys and a husband, and we are all in the house together, but I am grateful that we're healthy, but it's an adventure.
Yes. I have two kids too. And my husband is also home too, as well. So I can completely relate to that right now.
Yes. So Katie, Can you tell us a little bit about yourself for my listeners who haven't heard of you? Like, where a little bit of your background and what you're doing now?
Absolutely. Thank you. So I actually come from a background in traditional Chinese medicine. I graduated with a master's in science of acupuncture and oriental medicine. So I got started when I was really young at the age of 24. I came out of my master's program and basically started a business. And I really had no other choice then because there wasn't a lot of jobs back then for acupuncturists. So I came out like, you know, hit the ground running and I built a practice in New York. I actually ended up selling that practice about 3 years later. And then I built another practice from the ground up down in South Carolina. So I come from a very entrepreneurial background. I am an entrepreneur at heart. I didn't really know that until I got older and had to do it. But my love began in fertility and pregnancy and postpartum care. That's something that I really gravitated towards as a practitioner. And from there, I became very successful. I built that practice. I have team members now, and I still run that practice. But my mentorship in business came from people actually asking me, what are you doing and how can you help me? So I ended up mentoring a lot of people in business because that is my passion and that's my love and that's what I'm really good at. And that really stemmed into more of like business mentoring and coaching. One of the areas I really love to help people in is leadership and getting visibility. And especially in the birth community as a birth worker, I think that a lot of times people don't utilize their skills and have they're uncomfortable being visible. So it's something that really I help to evoke within them instead of saying like, oh, this is how you should, you know, all leaders have this quality. You should do this. It's more of evoking that within them, what their specific needs and traits are that they can really shine themselves instead of saying, you know, you should do this or you should do that. So that's kind of where my background comes from. I have a love and a passion for it. And I love working with people that need help on that end. That's really where I really come in, help them and support them through that process.
That's awesome. Yeah, a ton of birth workers are having to do that more entrepreneurial route as far as marketing themselves and all the pieces that come with being an entrepreneur. It feels like you have to be an expert in everything. But backing up a little bit, because I think sometimes we gloss over these stories of you actually having built two businesses, two practices, which is amazing, especially one being in New York, which is obviously a saturated market. And so can you take us back into your mindset of that beginner before you've been successful even once? I think building it second time might be a little easier because you've gone through it all. That very first time of you have are now an acupuncturist. The only way for you really to move forward is to build your own practice. Where was your mindset? Like, what kind of fears did you have to overcome? And how did you just, I guess, get brave enough to go through that process and learn all the things on the job that you needed to learn?
Yeah. So I was very young when I started. So the one thing that I had going for me is a slight naiveness of going into it and saying, all right, I wasn't married. I didn't have any kids at the time. I really just dove in. The first time I realized I was actually doing it, right, becoming an entrepreneur is when I went to like a small business association and filled out that I was like DBAing as. And I was like, wow, this is really real. I have no idea what I'm doing right now, but I had to, right? So I really had no other choice. So I really had to lean in to the discomfort and the uncertainty and just know that I had the training to provide a service for so many different type of people to help them. So I had to really get out of my own way, and I've had to do that throughout my whole entrepreneurship. But in the beginning, it is really scary. Like I was scared, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that first year in business. Are people going to actually want to come to me? Are they going to get you know, served by what I have to offer. And then also you do bump up against a lot of the fears you have. And this is true of, you know, the whole part of entrepreneurship, but especially in the beginning.
Yes. Yes. So I love how you said, like, you kind of had to push through that discomfort, because I think sometimes we can often want to wait until we feel ready to put ourselves out there or to start a business or to start that training or whatever it looks like. But to realize, like, you don't get ready by sitting around and waiting to feel ready. You get ready by actually just doing the thing and keep trying and keep learning.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. So as you have shifted into, you know, you built these businesses and now you have this business mentorship that you offer. And I know you love serving the, you know, the birth worker community, which is really fabulous. How do you see birth workers needing, like, what do you see the mindset shift specifically with birth workers that are really powerful for them to master to succeed in running their own businesses?
Yeah. So they really have to own their value. And I think when people first start going into any type of industry, and especially birth, you don't really know what you're getting yourself into in the beginning. You're like, you might have mentored or did some training with somebody, but really you have to own your own worth. You can't compare that to anybody else. And I do see a lot of comparison issues in the birth working field. We're saying, oh, this person is charging this, so I have to charge less than that because I've only been doing it 3 years. And I think that leads to a lot of burnout and it leads to a lot of comparison, which you can't do that. You really have to own your own worth. And that's really getting really self-aware of who you are and your own leadership skills within you. And that's very different. I feel like a lot of times birth workers will compare themselves to somebody else. And that's just going to end up being making you burn out. And it's just going to end up being more of a burden than actually a benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you see, let's say it's a little late for that and you are in burnout, how do you coach your clients on basically getting back on track? Like, they're in this cycle of they're not charging enough, or they're undervaluing themselves in some way. And they're hitting that wall, they're feeling that burnout, but they still feel that call to birth work. They're not ready to just walk away from it, but they're feeling a little stuck in this space of feeling burned out. How do you process with your clients on getting back to that place of feeling empowered and energized by their work?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think it's important to go back to the beginning and say, who is my ideal client and who do I love working with? And at what price does that light me up? Because I think that especially for experienced birth workers, they have to really dive in, because burnout's going to come from doing things that you don't want to do. And in entrepreneurship, that's going to happen to some extent. But if you're doing more things that you don't want to do, and working with more people and undercharging, that's going to cause more burnout than anything else. So usually I try to take them back to the beginning and get them really clear on their vision again. So when they start to envision themselves as this amazing leadership energy birth worker, which they are, but a lot of times we get so mundane by the, you know, the lack and the mentality of, oh, I got to do it all. This is so hard. You know, birth is not the easiest amount of work, because a lot of people are, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and going to a birth. They're actually serving such a beautiful community, but they're also putting their whole life somewhat on hold for birth, right? And that's a very different industry. So I think we have to go back to the beginning and get really clear on, who do you love to work it with? Who is that client that lights you up? What are the clients that you don't like to work with, and why? right? Because if you go back to the beginning and you add that experience that you have on top of that, you usually find more love in what you're doing again.
Yeah, that's really powerful. So, you know, slowing down and asking themselves that questions. And then how do you process with your clients? Because then I know the idea of feeling like I will narrow down who I love to work with. There's that scarcity mentality that can then rise up, that fear of, okay, if I turn someone down because they are not the type of people I like to work with, like as far as they don't light me up, or maybe the price range isn't going to, you know, be a good match or whatever that is. There's that fear of, if I don't say yes to everybody, then I won't have enough to pay my own bills. So there's that fear that we then have to, that scarcity mentality, that fear that we have to kind of confront in our own selves as we're narrowing this down. Do you have any encouragement for walking through that process?
Absolutely. That's a really good question, because that fear will arise. I find that once you start to narrow down and say, this is what my genius is, this is who I work with the best, and this is who really lights me up, you are going to have to say no to the people that call you and you just get that weird feeling in your stomach, or you're just like, oh, this person is not a good fit. And I know it. So once you say no to that person, often the universe, right, or whatever we want to call it, will line you up with the people that are actually right to work with you. So we have to say yes more to the people that we know that we're supposed to work with, the people that we really can serve. And you really do have to start saying no to the people that aren't best served by you. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. It doesn't mean somebody else wouldn't serve them. It just means that you have to really get aligned with your own values.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It's a good reminder too of not saying like they're bad or they're wrong, but it's just not a good fit, and acknowledging like there is someone out there who's going to be an amazing fit for them. And if it's not serving you and you're feeling out of alignment, they're going to feel that on the other end of it. They might not be able to put a finger on it, but also the client themselves are going to feel that disconnect, or that, yeah, just a disconnect between the two of you if you're not feeling at peace with your own decisions.
Absolutely. And I also want to say this. So if the more that you cultivate this, and the more that you use, and the more experience that you have in business, you know the clients that are really meant to work with you. And I think we do go into the scarcity mentality, thinking that we have to serve everybody. And eventually that will lead to a lack of love in your business, because you're not honoring yourself. So the more that you honor you, and the more that you honor what you know that you are here to serve, the more that gets honored, right? The more it comes back to you. In some way, it's just a level of trust, and you really have to go into self-observation here and self-awareness. If you have a client, this is like a perfect example, and even, you know, in the next month, call you and you get that feeling, and just this feeling of feeling disconnected to them, feeling that this isn't the right fit, but you say yes anyways, you oftentimes they end up not being the best client. And you're like, oh God, I should have listened to myself, right? But if you do have that same experience, and again, it's a level of self-awareness, and you just say, no, you know what? I think that this other person would be great for you if you want to, you know, set up like a referral thing. Or you just say, no, I don't really think this is a great fit. And that's fine too as well. But the more that you learn how to say no, the more that you're actually honoring yourself. And when you honor yourself the long run as an entrepreneur, you shouldn't burn out. And that's something that we have to learn through experience. I've learned that personally many times. And I've kicked myself in the butt sometimes because I knew that, oh my gosh, why did you take on this client? So you really have to align with your own values, and you really have to honor yourself. And the more you say yes to the things and the people that you know you're meant to work with, and the more you say, no, I'm sorry, this is just not a good fit, the more you're going to continue to love your business, and the longer it's going to last.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, learning really to trust your own intuition and to test that out and to see, you know, when we get a little bit off or we make, you know, we have that inner voice that says, maybe not, or that would be a really good opportunity. And then we talk ourselves in or out of it. And then we need to just learn from that and move on and not beat ourselves up and say, you know, it's not the end of the world, but just, okay, now I'm noticing, now I'm learning to trust that inner voice.
Yes.
Awesome.
That voice is always there. And that's the thing, though, I find in a lot of birth workers, most of the time, they're very intuitive. And they might know it or they might not, but that intuition is serving their client. But often they're not allowing that intuition to serve themselves in their business. And that's really when you start to get clearer on those things, the louder it gets. It's kind of like it's a muscle, right? So it's like going to the gym and you're lifting weights and that muscle's getting bigger. When you honor that intuition gets clearer and it gets louder. And then you can use that to make decisions. And you can learn to trust it. So that's a big thing that a lot of birth workers probably know, but they often go, I wish I trusted that. I mean, we've all been there though.
I love what you just said. I want to repeat it as far as birth workers tend to trust their intuition for their clients, but not for themselves. And I think that is so valuable to just sit and process that just for a moment to be like, okay, so if I trust my gut, if I trust my intuition in the moment for my client, because birth is, it's very intuitive. It's, you can't just have a plan and then it's going to go to plan. Like there's physical bodies involved that are going to respond the way they're going to respond. And we don't know. And so we do trust that intuition a lot of times to be a good birth worker. And it's taking that a step farther and being like, okay, I do trust my intuition. I do see how this serves my clients. Now I'm going to learn to trust this for myself.
Yes.
Awesome. So I know you also help with maybe some fear or some trepidation on taking that leap into promoting yourself on social media. So putting yourself out there, connecting with your clients, and not being afraid to own a little bit of real estate on the internet. Can you talk us through how you process with your clients that just maybe some general fears that come up even at the idea of using social media and then knowing just how to navigate that whole world?
Absolutely. So one of the fears that I often talk about with my clients is the fear of visibility. So with visibility often comes a lot of things. A lot of good things usually come from it, but a lot of times we're thinking of the bad things in our head that could come from it versus all the good that social media has to offer. So I ask my clients usually, what is your relationship with social media? How are you using it in your own life? And oftentimes they'll say, well, I'm just using it to connect with people, or I'm using it to keep up with my friends, or, you know, I'm just, you know, scrolling on social media just for entertainment. And that's totally fine. But I ask the question, don't you think people that might be your ideal audiences are also scrolling on social media and looking for answers, right? So a lot of times people come for social media to develop a connection with a person or a business. And when it comes to birth, you have to develop that connection. And it takes 7 to 9 points of contact for a person to come in and see you. Besides, sometimes you'll get a great referral, another, you know, somebody that had a birth with you, they will tell their friend and then their friend will maybe immediately call. But a lot of times, if you're not leveraging social media, that person actually might go on your pages and look at your page and go, they're not really active on their Facebook page, or they're not really active on, you know, any social media. I wonder what they're really about. And maybe even, are they really for me? So social media helps you leverage, and people actually have a conversation in their mind with you through your social media. They actually get some kind of experience with you through your social media. So if you're not leveraging that, you're actually doing yourself somewhat a disservice, but you're also doing your clients a little bit of disservice too as well, because you can bridge the gap before you even have the conversation with them. It's a great way. And I love video. I love video marketing. And I know a lot of people have problems with visibility in video too as well. But if you can somewhat get over yourself and just say, you know what, I have people to help and I have people to serve. And even if you're practicing it, you know, in the mirror before you do that, it's really going to help you get visible. So we have to get over that fear of visibility, which everyone has, but it can serve you in the short term and the long term if you really can overcome that fear.
That's really good. So when it comes to, video and putting yourself out there, seeing that as the points of contact of people being able to interact with you several times before, you know, as they're getting comfortable, as they're getting to know you, as they're warming up with you. And really, you know, especially if you know who your client that you would love to work with is, then you're talking directly to that person and it's going to make that connection without you having to send a bunch of emails, which even emails aren't the most, relational. It's not as easy to connect because there's not the facial expression and tone and intonation, all that. So that's really good to just process that as far as being okay with that, being uncomfortable, knowing it's normal to be uncomfortable, to put yourself out there, and then to just take that deep breath and do it anyway.
Yeah. And discomfort is actually, I find that discomfort, especially in entrepreneurship, is kind of a given. So I've been uncomfortable many times making decisions for my business or starting new things or hiring people or working with new clients. Really, discomfort and resistance, on the other end of it, if you're feeling really uncomfortable and resistant to it, usually it's because on the other end of it, it's something much greater than you can imagine. Because if it's really scary, a lot of people are just going to back down and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the norm. It's to contract and to go into fear mode versus going, I'm just going to lean into this discomfort and see what happens on the other side.
Yes. Yes. And I think not using that, validating that it's normal, discomfort and resistance, because I think sometimes the second we feel discomfort or resistance, we think we're suddenly doing something wrong or we're on the wrong path, where maybe flipping that around and saying, maybe this means I'm on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to social media, and it can feel overwhelming because there's so many options. There's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's TikTok, there's Twitter, there's YouTube, there's all these things. What do you recommend as far as, do you recommend maybe just getting started with one and being consistent with it? Do you recommend trying to touch everything and a little bit all over the place? How do you, if someone's brand new, but they're wanting to get more engaged on social media, how do you maybe say, what are the first couple steps to doing it effectively?
Absolutely. So usually I'm telling people to create a platform on all the big platforms right now. So create some kind of platform on every one of the platforms. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, all the big platforms. And that has changed over the years, right? So there might even be more. But the big thing that I say is utilize the platform that you feel most drawn to. So, I mean, Facebook is a tried and true one because that is a visual and a writing platform. So that one can be utilized in both areas. If you're more of a visual person, a lot of people love Instagram, which is, you know, photos and then writing under the photos. So whatever one you gravitate more towards, use that. And then put your content across all the platforms. So if you create a post for Facebook and then you can just copy paste on the other platforms, I always recommend doing that. If that sounds overwhelming to people, then just choose one and start there. Because you do want some kind of platform that you can really go to, that people can leverage and people can look at. And you can tell people like, hey, follow my Facebook page. There's a lot of information on there. So if it feels overwhelming, right, first step would be just to create your accounts on all the platforms. And then pick one account that you are most drawn to and the one that you're going to like to leverage the most.
Yes, that's good. So just where you maybe already feel the most comfortable starting there and then getting into a groove and then see how that grows.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. So when it comes to social media, and it can sometimes feel like a giant time suck, like I am putting all this energy and all this content and I'm writing and I'm taking pictures or I'm finding pictures and I'm doing all this work. How do you then kind of shift that mindset into this is going to be profitable for my business? And how do you make it the most profitable for your business as far as making it something that actually is converting people into clients? Like, do you have a few top recommendations for it to not just be basically like your personal account, but it is actually a business account?
Yeah. So, creating like an actual business page. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes. And then using your business page as a business page, not just like I'm posting about I made cookies today and these are my kids, and being more like I want to actually convert people into clients. So what do I post on that business page so that people will then be interested in what I'm offering?
Yeah. So usually I'm saying most of the time, if you are a very private person, you don't have to post anything about your personal life. But I usually say you want to post a little bit about your personal life because people will actually, especially in this connection field, people are going to want to relate to you in some way. Do you have children? Do you not have children? Are you married? Do you have, you know, what's your favorite, you know, smoothie or things like that? That's totally fine to post, but you want to generally be posting 80 to 90% of your content should be something of value to your client. So it could be something like an inspirational quote. It could be something like, an article that you wrote, a blog post, or some kind of content that gives them value. And then in that content, you want, I would say, at least 30% of the time to have some kind of call to action. You don't want to always be posting like, hey, I'm here. Here's my phone number. You should give me a call. That's going to be way too salesy for people. So you want to kind of mix it up, right? So you want valuable content. You want some kind of call to action, I would say a third of the time. And then you're going to want some little nuggets of you in there too. Because the way people are going to experience your company and your brand is going to feel different for everybody, but they're going to want some kind of connection to you. So I would say, you know, some people like to schedule content, like, you know, create content at the first of the month and schedule, you know, twice a week posts or something like that. I usually recommend that because then you're actually sitting down and making it happen versus saying, oh, I'm just going to create content when I feel like it. Because often that doesn't happen for most people. And especially if you're new, if you love social media, like I love social media and I've always loved social media and I've always used it in all of my businesses. It's actually one of the biggest things I leverage. So a lot of times I will sit down and create content because it also creates more of a work-life balance. But sometimes I'll get spontaneous, intuitive hits to say, man, I'm going to post this to my audience because this really will provide value from them. So starting out, try to time it and create that content. But once you become more of you have a knack for it, then you can often use more inspirational stuff because you know what your audience needs and you know what your audience engages in.
That's awesome. This conversation's been super practical and helpful, and I'm really appreciative. I have one more question for you. If you could picture a brand new birth worker. Let's say she's a doula, and she's been trying to find a couple clients. It's been a couple months. She's struggling. She's wondering if this is really the thing for her. And she's come to you for a little business coach pep talk. What would be a couple of things that you would say to encourage her and to help her focus?
Yes. So I would first say is put yourself in service. Because when we are being of service, we can literally get out of our way a lot quicker than when we're in our own stuff. So whatever you feel like will create more service, and that will help you get out of your way on any platform, and it will help you get out of your way even asking for a referral. Because if you know that there's someone out there that you can serve and they're going to have an amazing birth experience that they wouldn't have without you, then you have to sit in service. And that also takes sales out of it, because a lot of times new birth workers or new entrepreneurs, and sometimes you don't even like to equate yourself with an entrepreneur. Sometimes you want to say like, okay, I'm a birth worker. I'm here to help people and I'm here to serve them. This helps you get out of your way when you put yourself in service and you know that on the other end, you are going to make a magnificent impact on someone else's life, because birth is a very intimate moment. You're never going to forget that. And for women, especially who are first-time moms and they don't really know, they need that doula. They need that information. They need that person and that connection and support, because that doesn't come from anything else. So you really have to get out of your way, throw yourself kind of out there, and just get over the fear of marketing and putting yourself out there. Because if you put yourself in service, that's going to make it a heck of a lot easier for you to be successful at this.
That's awesome. Yes. And that mindset shift of not feeling salesy and just being able to serve and knowing your value, it all wraps up. It's all connected. Thank you. So for those of our listeners who want to connect with you, where can they find you?
So my website is www.katieedwardscorbin.com. And I also have a big Facebook following. That's my favorite platform to use. And that's the one I've used for many years. So if you look me up on Katie Edwards Corbin on Facebook, you can connect with me there too. And I'm very active on that page.
Awesome. And I'll put all the links in the show notes too, so it'll be easy for people to find you. So Katie, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and just sharing some awesome encouragement to help us be focused and to implement some really practical shifts that we'll see some awesome results in our business with.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
One of Katie's quotes from her website perfectly sums up my hope for you today. Believe the world needs you. This impacts how we show up, yes, on social media, but also in every area of our life. The world needs that special version of you that only you can offer. And I think this belief often gets forgotten when we approach social media. We compare and we feel like we need to use this tool the way that everyone else is. And what if you could utilize it in a way that serves and displays who you are, your unique voice, without all the pressure or need for certain numbers or likes? I know the world needs you, your wisdom and love and compassion, without any fear or anxiety or stress, just the authentic, untainted you. If social media is an area you're wanting to lean into, I encourage you to practice your bravery. Try things, even if they don't work. Don't worry. Keep trying. I am in the trenches with you on this one. If you're wanting to connect with Katie, I encourage you to head on over to her Facebook page or her website to get started hanging out and learning from her. I'm so grateful for her voice and her being willing to share her story with us today. Last week, I issued a challenge to all of us to encourage another birth worker. It can be personally or via social media. Let's keep it up this week. How about we tag someone that we respect or have learned from or are encouraged by in a social media post this week? Often we don't know what to post, but this is a really easy and authentic way to get started. We're not competing with each other. There is always plenty. And if you're struggling with feeling like there isn't plenty, especially in this market, I encourage you to jump back to episode 18 with the amazing Agnes Koleski. You'll be encouraged and challenged in the best possible way on your money mindset from a really deeply compassionate approach. Thank you so much for being you, for your bravery and vulnerability and willingness to do this work to support your communities. The work you do is essential and vital, and I'm cheering you on as we navigate this thriving birth worker life together. Bye for now.
The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.